Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And we made it to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. And Jim, the gift just keeps on giving up on Capitol Hills. The Democrats keep fighting amongst themselves when it comes to this tax cut compromise. Now we find out, thanks to The Hill, this is the report I'll be reading from, as well as other outlets, in a striking move, the House Appropriations Committee late Wednesday attached a provision to a $1.1 trillion resolution to keep the government funded next year that would prevent President Obama from spending any funds to try terrorism suspects in civilian courts instead of military commissions. The language would essentially prevent the closing of the detainee prison in Guantanamo Bay. I'm thinking if this standoff goes any longer, we might see some House rank-and-file Democrats vowing to repeal Obamacare if we can keep this going just a few more weeks.
I was going to say, a good point. I wonder if we, you know, this is much better than party switches. We don't want them in the party. We just want them on the other side, creating as much chaos as possible. You listen to these discussions, Greg, and you just feel like there's some sort of like interdimensional barrier between us and most Democrats on Capitol Hill and in the White House, because we generally are not really big fans of this whole idea of civilian trials and doing them here in America. And yet, to the minds of congressional Democrats, by taking away the money, they're really punishing Obama by taking away something that is phenomenally unpopular. You know, like there's a real element of don't throw me into that briar patch.
Exactly.
Mentality. You know, like they don't realize that they're doing him a favor. And what's really fascinating is my bet is that the White House, they don't realize that the congressional Democrats are doing them a favor either. It's like watching a bar fight between two guys who don't actually know how to fight. And they keep like handing each other drinks or something, or doing something nice to each other when they think that they're really inflicting some pain there.
I'd love to see John Boehner go to the House floor and say, in the spirit of bipartisan cooperation, we will go along with this. We will go along with no civilian trials for Guantanamo Bay detainees. We will not let the prison close. We'll let you have what you want.
Maybe it's an elaborate like reverse psychology plot to try to get Boehner to back civilian trials. Say, oh, yeah? Well, we will restore the funding. How do you like them apples, huh? You know?
Oh, that's too much fun. Unfortunately, the Republicans are the Republicans. And we get to the second martini now. And they've taken a step here that has yet to be seen whether it's good or bad. But the previous track record suggests that it's not all that great. Kentucky Republican Hal Rogers has been named the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee. And he's got a nickname of the Prince of Pork. And if the Republicans got the majority back based on a promise of renewed fiscal discipline, not renewing what they did that got him fired in 2006, gotta think this isn't necessarily the most convincing step for the folks that decided that they were the best choice in 2010.
Greg, could you think of a more awful nickname for the guy to be running the Appropriations Committee under this new Republican era of thrift and careful spending and efficiency and watching our money more carefully? What, King Oinker was taken? You know, like what? I'm baffled by this. He hasn't taken the position yet, and so I suppose we might be able to give him a several molecules of the benefit of the doubt that maybe he'll get the message. But there certainly are some ominous points on this. And it's one of those things where I guess the good news is there will be plenty of members of Congress who will be insisting no earmarks, no earmarks, no earmarks. In fact, Eric Cantor said very flatly, there will be no earmarks in the next Congress. Said this on Twitter yesterday. There were some people who reacted via Twitter applauding a great deal. And there are a lot of people like, you know what? I'll believe that when I see it. So King Oinker or Prince of Porker or all that stuff, he's going to have a fight on his hands. But it might have been more reassuring if they'd had Flake or somebody who was a real hardliner on this issue chairing the committee instead of having him just be one voice on the committee. And, you know, a committee that just tends to attract the people who are really into finding creative ways to send money back to their districts.
Yeah, perhaps the most depressing sentence in this article was Rogers beat two other House Republican veterans with a history of securing earmarks or special projects for their districts.
Yeah, I believe it was like, you know, King Oinker, Prince Porker, Duke of Spare Ribs, and, the Earl of Pork Rinds, you know, like it was all kinds of, you know, different options, all of them really, you know, not all that great. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, seniority obviously is how you get these high positions on the committees. And these are people that basically survived doing what they did that got Republicans in trouble the last time they're in the majority. So they're on notice. And we'll see if some of these new folks who will be on the committee undoubtedly can hold their feet to the fire and make sure that if they do step outside the lines of what the voters want, that there will be heck to pay to
Heck to pay, a good choice for our next topic.
Exactly, because, you know, it's not a secret that, you know, the four-letter words fly once in a while on Capitol Hill. Our previous vice president certainly made no secret of that in his run-in with Patrick Leahy. But it's not usually all that common to have it aimed at the president of your own party. And at that House caucus meeting where they decided they didn't really want this tax cut compromise to come up for a vote, bleep the president was heard, as well as some other different phraseologies. You wouldn't want to necessarily have your children here. And this, I guess, goes back to Martini 1 in the sense that the party seems to be in an interesting implosion mode right now. But what do you make of the potty mouth Democrats on the House side?
Well, in that article you were citing in that first Martini, it quotes Jim Moran, my congressman here in Northern Virginia, as saying, I don't know where the president stands on this. And, you know, he's using the F-bomb there rather casually to a reporter in characterizing the president's position. So I think we could put Jim Moran at the top of the list of suspects of the person who said blank the president. This really got under my skin, and it's very strange. I feel offended on behalf of President Obama, and it's obviously not a circumstance I'm used to being in. Look, disagree with President Obama all you want, and Lord knows you and I do, and many conservatives do, sure. And you know, denounce them, you know, 10 ways to Sunday. But there's just something about that language that really kind of rankles. I think it was wrong for Joe Wilson to yell out during the president's speech, and it seems like some sort of line has been crossed when Democrats have no problem saying this. Theoretically, it was a closed-door meeting, but you're in front of, like, several hundred of your colleagues. And one of the things that I'm finding kind of surprising or baffling was no word of the reaction to this. I'd like to think that even during the peak of the, let's say, the amnesty debates of 2007 or so, that if a closed-door Republican meeting, somebody had said, you know what about George W. Bush, I'd like to think that more than a few Republicans would say, hey, you know, there's no need for that kind of language. This is the President of the United States we're talking about. Even if you don't like what he's doing at any particular given moment, you should behave with a certain amount of respect towards the office. And yeah, I wrote about this a bit on the campaign spot today. We've seen a lot of kind of nasty bile going through the Democratic Party, really pretty much since the Bush-Gore-Florida fight of 2000. It's just gotten nastier and nastier, I think personified most clearly in Alan Grayson. And so now you're at this point where it's come full circle, where now it's turned on their own guy, where an angry liberal, when Obama isn't doing what he wants him to do, feels comfortable saying blank the president. And I think this is a moment for those of us who believe that the office should be respected, regardless of who's in it and regardless of how strongly you feel about what the guy's doing. This is just not behavior we should be expecting. And I'd be surprised if we don't figure out sooner or later who the infamous Andrew Dice Clay-esque member of Congress is.
Well, it's often that we'll use the well done Nevada in kind of a sarcastic or cynical tone, you know, and we see these people who somehow got reelected make another boneheaded move. But to the midterm voters who actually implemented these changes, a sincere well done, because this is kind of what they've rejected. A lot of other things as well. But I think that very arrogant tone, that which now is being exhibited through sheer frustration, is coming out, and people are understanding that the choices they made in November were even better than they realized.
Yeah, and also I think it was Sherry Berkley of Nevada who was the one who was making the argument in favor of the president's tax deal when this infamous comment was blurted out. So it's kind of intriguing that obviously there are some Democrats who very much don't agree with it. And it sounds like it was not whispered or under the breath, but it was not shouted either. So clearly some folks heard about it, and I'm just kind of – I just can't believe that nobody didn't, you know, heckle or shout them down or just say knock it off. Or I'm kind of baffled by the fact that amongst congressional Democrats you can say blank the president and nobody has any problem with that.
Well, it's definitely a different world for President Obama and a lot of these congressional Democrats. We'll have hopefully a lot of fun chronicling it all next week as well. Jim, have a great weekend.
Same to you. Have a blank and good weekend, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.